Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. More torturous than all else is the human heart. Beyond remedy, who can understand it? I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart, to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. So, you know, if we are, just think, if we're selfish and proud and we just want to have this friend and we do everything to get that person attached to us, we can be in serious difficulty. Because what is our attitude? Our attitude is, I want this, I want this, I want this. And that's selfish. And selfishness doesn't lead to being closer to God. Selfishness leads to just that, being selfish, being cut off, having more enemies, not liked, not well received. That's what happens. But we try to do it anyway because there's something in our, I used to say we worship the unholy trinity. The unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. That's the unholy trinity. What we want to do is worship the Lord. We want Jesus to be first. He's preeminent here. In my life, in the lives of those I live with, it's the Lord. Sure, we have times when we're focused on ourselves because of illness or because of wanting a particular job or doing a particular thing. We can get kind of mired in ourselves. And even then, the only freedom is to give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Tell me what to do. And he will. He is a good God. He loves us. Sometimes, you know, we think, oh, well, I had a very good father, so therefore God is like my father. As much as I might love my father, I can't say he's just like Christ. He exhibits some qualities of Christ himself. And I can certainly stand on that. But he's not God. People in my life who are very dear to me, but they're not God. They're not goddesses. They're there to lead me closer to Christ and for me to lead them closer to Christ. Because one day we are, brothers and sisters, all of us, we're going to stand before him. Each of us, alone. And we're going to hear the words, welcome or depart from me. Brothers and sisters, ask God to give you grace to put him first in everything. That doesn't mean you have to be in a church all the time. You can't. You have a wife, you are a husband, you have family, you have people to care for, you have a life to live here. That's fine. But every day should begin with choosing the Lord. Saying, Lord, I want what you have for me today. I want to do it according to your will. I love you. I want people to love you more because they know me. That's what we're after. It's not me. It's not you. But that they come to know the Lord better because they've encountered you. That's what God is after. And the psalm for today is Psalm number 1. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. And that's it. I put all my hope in the Lord. Do not bless the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. I can certainly say I meditate on his law a lot, but I don't think I can say I meditate on his law day and night, though I could if I had to. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so they are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. You know, I've found myself, even, you know, I might be downtown, I might be shopping, and I just stop and say, Lord, help me to please you more today. Help me to love you more. It just might be that brief a prayer, but God uses it. He hears every word we pray. He knows us. I often want to ask him about that. How does he do that? How does he know everybody without getting confused over what relative or who this person is? But God is not. God is perfect. And he does see us. And he does know us. And he does hear the cry of our hearts. Trust him. Please learn how to trust him even more. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames. Abraham replied, My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours. He said, Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment. But Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. He said, Oh, no, Father Abram, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And then Abraham said, If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. That's a very, very serious Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. It's very, very serious, and it's true, brothers and sisters. If we neglect or we turn away and we have the means to care for them, even a little bit. I remember Mother Teresa saying that when they sat down to eat dinner, they would just check first on the next door neighbor or someone else, and they were very poor, and they'd see if they had any food at all, and they would share the food that they had with the poor. Do we? Or you can say, oh, well, that's Mother Teresa. No, no, no. That's what we're all called to do, every one of us, to reach out and to serve and to love those who are less fortunate than we are, because we're certainly of a mind of, oh, well, I just have to get through this life. I don't have time for anybody else. But if we don't have time for anyone else, we're going to find ourselves in difficulty one day. And you don't want that, and I don't want that. It might be your husband or wife who need help. It might be a good friend. You might be angry about the situation or upset in some way. Be honest, but at the same time, help. Reach out, because whatever it costs you, God will be pleased. Sometimes we need professional help. I understand that. But sometimes the word of someone you live with means a lot. It means more than even you know. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to look for the poor in your own neighborhood or the poor in your own area, work related, whatever. Just take a look. And I don't just mean physically poor, but people who have had suffering or setbacks of some kind, who are handicapped, who are just alone. Reach out. If they refuse to take your help, don't worry about it. Just move on to the next. But if you can just say, is there anything I could do for you today? And see what they say. Or, I have about 10 minutes at lunchtime, but I would be glad to bring you a sandwich, or I'd be glad to do this for you. Do we think of doing that? Do we honestly think of doing that? No. We just want self-satisfaction. It's my lunchtime. You know, my lunchtime is short. Well, what about people who have no lunchtime? Really? Now, that's just one example. There can be many kinds of examples, little things, things you drop off at people's houses that you think they might need. It's just a little tap on the door. Whenever they open the door and they find it, you're gone. That's all right. But they know that God has helped them. And we have a lot of people like that in our world. You say, oh, they're just out to make money. And sure, there are those people. I don't doubt it. But there's a lot more who are genuinely poor. Ask God to help you discern. Ask God to show you where the need is. You'll make your life grander and richer and more meaningful if you do it. God wants us to help our neighbor. When a man, it says here in a commentary by St. Caesarius, he says, when a man humbly confesses his sins, he seems full of sores on the outside, but he is known to be already healed within. But if, like that rich man, a person adorns his body and disdains to confess his sins, he is adorned outwardly, but remains inwardly full of sores. Such was that rich man whose body was clothed in purple and fine linen, but whose soul was marked with a contagion of leprosy. For this reason, in the sight of the angels, the soul of the rich man was as the body of the poor man looked to the eyes of men, while in his soul the poor man appeared like the rich man in his body. Brothers and sisters, I pray that I will be in heaven and will see all of you in heaven one day. Let's work together. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. 282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.